Hello people, and welcome back to the Out of Bounds YouTube channel. As you can already tell by the title, we are going to be talking about why United are so crap. I'm joking, why United versus Chelsea preview on the weekend or whatever. So to introduce the guest, or in fact, you know what? These aren't even guests, these are housemates. So introduce my housemates, we've got Abbas. How you doing?
I'm doing blessed, man. I don't talk football, but we're here. We'll talk about it this season, just to end it off.
So, and I am joined with my other housemate, Sam.
How you doing? I'm good, bro. Free Pete, you already know. Free Pete. We're here. Up there with Fergie. Jose didn't do it. None of the rest. Wenger didn't do it. Pep's done it. I told you that trophy last season was very important.
Now, for those of you that have not been following the channel, Sam has been supporting Man City since 2012, so he's very we happy about it.
Since 2012, don't do that.
No, I'm joking. He's been supporting them before the Etihad times, allegedly. We'll never know.
May Road. Come on, May Road.
Same thing. And obviously, we've got a guest here, Mr. Twitter himself, Trey. How you doing?
I'm good, man. It's good to be here, man. My team's not playing the best football, but 1 point off top four to secure it against you, man. I'm here. We've got a cup final against Sam's boys, and I'm just hoping we beat them, so just to get that double.
So let's get into it. Obviously, if you follow Trey on Twitter, you know he's a very opinionated person. You know, I thought he was going to leave the stream when he saw Ronaldo do the Ronaldo kick.
That was prime Ronaldo. That was prime Ronaldo when he was bagging in goals.
Yeah, but remember that that's United. But you know what? Let's obviously, from United's point of view, how do you think your season has gone?
It's a mixed one, you know, because it's Ten Hag's first season. It's like, we've done what's expected. I think if you could ask for something better, but you would want a bit more. So in the position that we're in, it's been a good season, but I wanted a bit more in terms of like how Newcastle have elevated their third option at the moment. But we're doing a decent job. I mean, another cup final. We've won a trophy already. People say, oh, it's only the cup, but at the same time, it's a trophy at the end of the day, isn't it? Like, the run, you can say, was easy. But we got there in the end. We won the final. It wasn't by a big margin, but we done what we could. I mean, the season's been okay. Could be better, but it's a building process. I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day, so we've just got to take it step by step in it. And Tenno's doing a decent job with what he has. Could be better in some aspects, but we just got to see what happens in this summer. Hopefully, we can get a couple of strikers, maybe a couple of midfielders and another goalkeeper in it. So, yeah, I think it's been all right. I just hope we beat City, end that treble, and just could go for next season.
Wait, and just elaborate that, because you said you came into the season hoping for a bit more. And as you know, United are going to finish in the top four, which, I mean, second, third and fourth are all the same. So when you said a bit more, is it in terms of closing the gap to City, or what is a bit more for you?
So, like, when I say a bit more, like, we was in the Europa League and obviously you saw what happened against Seville. So a bit more as in, like, competing to get towards a final in that as well, innit? Like, we weren't going to close the gap on City. I never thought we were going to be in a title race or anywhere near them, because City have just got too much. It's Tenno's first season. If anyone thought we were going to be in SC, then you're not really watching what we're doing, because Pep's been in this league for six or more years, and he's won what? How many titles is it? What, this is like his fifth title now?
For like 6 years or something.
Yeah,
like
fifth
that.
Out of the last six.
Or like five or something. I don't know.
Yeah, something stupid, but he's gotten a good amount of titles. So I just thought in the Europa League we could have competed a bit better and gone a bit deeper into it. You don't want to be in it, but once you're in it and get into later stages, you want to win it at that point. I mean, it's a European trophy at the end of the day. I know we've won it, but you want to stack up more trophies, innit? So I think we've done better in that remark. I mean, we've got the League Cup, cool. The FA Cup, hopefully we do our job in that. But I just think in that specifically, we could have done a bit better away from home and at home as well, when we were obviously 2-0 up and then bowled it towards the end. So
Yeah. And obviously, just lastly, before we move on to the Chelsea side a bit, before we start previewing these games, in terms of Ten Hag, because obviously, when Ten Hag came in, I mean, he's bold like Pep as well. So everybody thought, you know what, he's going to come, he's going to take United to new heights. And he still could do that. But it's one of those things, he comes in, talk about errors are meant to end, blah, blah, blah. And then he starts, he showed a firm hand, like, especially we see with the whole Ronaldo situation, whereas in, he was benching him at first, and then Ronaldo goes and does an interview and it's been done for him. Have you liked the approach that Ten Hag has taken for with most of the season as well? Or is there, do you still have question marks about him in terms of, is he the man to take us forward?
I think Ten Hag has approached some things well. The Ronaldo situation, I think if it was any other manager, they probably would have crumbled. He didn't. And I thought he approached it really well in terms of Ronaldo wasn't acting acting appropriate and acting as the more mature player that you would have thought he was. Like, he is mature, but in that way, how he just kind of disrespected the club and wasn't moving right, Ten Hag did it well, because obviously he didn't want to come on, I think, was it against the Tottenham game? He walked down the tunnel, then he wasn't really following what the manager wanted him to do. Then I think, was it a disciplinary happened or something like that during, I think a few times in training. So he had to move on. I mean, we weren't really playing our best football with him. The manager he didn't suit what the manager wanted in terms of pressing off the ball. I know people are going to think, oh, when Ronaldo's on the pitch, he scores goals. Yeah, I get that. But at the same time, I mean, you're going to want more than just goals, innit? Like, I'm not here for Veghorst, innit? Like, he's nowhere near and he's just not good enough to be at his club. But at the same time, with Ronaldo, it's just one of those ones where he didn't suit what Ten Hag wanted and he didn't want to really be at the club anymore. Like, he wanted to move probably from the summer, and I don't think he was in Ten Hag's plans from the beginning. Like, he used him for a bit and he got his goal against Everton. Cool, it was a landmark for him. But he just didn't suit what Ten Hag wanted in terms of the pressing and just following what the manager actually wanted him to do. He just didn't. He wasn't a profile for what Ten Hag wanted. Martial obviously has had his injuries this season, and I think we should just move him on at this point. I think he's had his moments. Don't get me wrong. He's been. I'm just saying, bro. We have to move him on, bro. It's time, bro. I need to see a Harry Kane.
This happened finally. How many years?
Ferguson or someone, bro. I need to see something different, man. Get two strikers in, man, because we're bleeding for goals at this minute. Like, Fresh is not on the pitch. We're not scoring goals.
Because so. I was even going to ask, like, Justin Martial is 2 points. And I was a big fan of Martial as well.
Yeah, but I'm a big fan of Martial. But
at some point, you're just going to have to give it up. You know what I'm saying?
You just got to move it on, man. You got to move it on. Like, I've had good moments with Martial, but you just got to move him on. Like, too injury prone, can't stay fit. Then there's troubles with his missus on board. Like, there's a lot going on, and he's on big money as well. So I think
I remember more Martial than I do moments. Like, that's just me. I remember more apologies on Instagram than I do moments from Martial. But I'm glad that United have seen sense and they want to get rid of the guy. Ballon d'Or clause.
They're still waiting for that to activate, innit? So I guess that's the issue. But he needs to go.
All right. Before we go back into United, let's just obviously, because we're going to have to gloss over Chelsea, innit? Obviously, we only have one Chelsea fan here, which is the best, because me and Sam are like Man City fans. I've signed a new contract.
Bro, you're back.
Bro, you're taking a loan now.
You got your back loan.
20. Hold on. All right, two seconds.
He's going to change to Lakers now.
You need to go change
the backdrop. He's going to change the backdrop.
Nice. All right. So, as I was saying, so we only have one Chelsea fan, didn't it? Which is Abbas. Now, obviously, Chelsea have been dusted for time, innit? Like, our season was over back in December, or whatever. But every single time I think we can't go lower, Lampard seems to take us into new parts of hell that I've not seen before.
That's your club legend, man.
So, I said before, fuck the club legend stuff, because this is appalling and whatever. But obviously, there's been talks about Poch coming in and whatnot, blah, blah. I'm even going to talk about if Lampard can improve or whatever, because we know he can't, and it's not about this season. But Abbas, if Poch was the guy to come in, do you feel like he could is the guy to take us forward, or was there someone else you had in mind?
Do you know what? Like, I'm not the big Poch fan, but I always say this, like, eventually we are going to literally hire every manager available at one point or another. Somehow, some way, you are going to manage Chelsea, because if you really deep it, under Roman, we had so many managers and they were all top tier or up and coming, that next guy type of thing. We always end up getting them. So it was kind of like written to say that Poch will eventually be Chelsea manager. Like, it was just bound to happen. There was other people I'd probably put in front. Probably Unai Emery was the one that nobody gave a shout. And I was like, yo, why is nobody touching this guy? Like, look what he's done with Villa. He always wins with Sevilla. The only club he's never won with is Arsenal. And yeah, we know Arsenal's Arsenal. So I would have probably gone with him first. Nagelsmann seems like that quirky guy, the new guy that everyone's likes and wants to get a piece of. And if Chelsea were going to pick him up, fair enough. The only thing you can give with Poch is, I guess, the fact that he's done it in the Prem and he put Spurs to a position where they'll never replicate it again. But I'm not against it. I'm not for it. But I always give a new manager time. But if I've got an agenda to run against a manager as well, he gets less time than others do. So I can't lie about that. But at the end of the day, he was always going to be in charge. It was just a case of when it was just a case of when rather than if. And it looks like he's probably going to be the guy now. I don't know how many years they're going to sign him for. They're not going to do the pot. They probably will do something close to that Potter, probably like 3 years, I'd say more than five, and see where it goes from there. But I think Todd's probably learned his lesson and not done the whole let's get a British manager in type of thing and stick where it's smart. And that's probably like foreign managers just are more successful in general.
No, 100% agree with you. So I'm just going to come to Sam, obviously, to lead us in regards to the preview with this Chelsea Man City game. Obviously, you don't have to give your prediction now, but what's your take on this matchup, especially given where these two teams are in the season?
So, in terms of it, like, where City are... Sorry, not City. I don't know why I'm bringing City into a conversation, but in terms of Chelsea, where they are, their season's done. They're not going to get relegated. They can't get to Europe. So, it's just, you know, they're just playing, you know, just ticking over. And we've seen what Chelsea have done in the last two big games that they played. They played against Arsenal. They got brushed aside. They played against RB team. And look, we cruised in it. Yes, we had one shot on target. We took that opportunity. Alvarez scored. Yeah, you guys had a few near chances, but you didn't really penetrate or cause us much threat. And that was with RB team. So it just shows that in terms of Lampard as a coach, it's like every single game he plays, it's like, do you know what? I'm playing Football Manager. Let me try a new formation. Let me try some new players. There's no consistency. And the only thing that you do see is that he's given players that he likes opportunities. And most of the players that he's given opportunities are British players. He's just putting out a team and you think there's no cohesion. Like, why is this guy starting and that guy starting and this guy starting? Like, last game, I'm not too sure. You tell me, Chelsea fans, you tell me, was João Felix injured or what was the situation? Because he didn't start. Or
Lampard thinks he doesn't run enough.
Okay,
he likes to attract Gallagher.
Someone that you've got on loan, and you're paying that amount of money to have him on loan, he should be starting every single game. There's no reason for you to drop him. Do you know what I'm saying? And the people that he's given opportunities to, like, moving forward, I don't see they have a career at Chelsea. So what's the point playing them now? Like, you're not even going to be the manager next year. So it's not like you're saying, oh, I'm getting these players ready for next season. Bro, when after Saturday, you've gone, a new manager comes in and Poch is going to do his own thing. But similar to what Abbas said, the only thing that you can kind of give Poch here where he can work with a big team, he might want to trim it down, but he knows how to get the best out of his players and players that are not great. We've seen him do it with Tottenham, you know, finish second, get to the Champions League final. So on a Chelsea end, like you said, Chelsea are dusted. There's not really much to say. In terms
this
of...
this season...
It's going to be a long time. While Pep is still there, I don't know what you guys are doing because we're just going to get better. We've seen the rumours. We might get Kimmich. If we get Kimmich, that's a whole other story. Do you know what I mean? Because Pep turned him into Philip Lahm, right back, that can go into centre mid.
can't do it.
Exactly. Double pivot. It's another story. Do you know what I mean? There you go. So in terms of United, I think they're the better team in form. Obviously, they're trying to build. I think they've got a bit more cohesion and stability at the moment with Ten Hag. You know, they brought in Casemiro to be kind of like a leader, a part of the leadership team as well. And I just see, in terms of that game, I see it going one way, and I see Man United winning. Like, Chelsea, they're going to have a few chances here and there, but just how it is at the moment, I just don't see the commitment from the players. One, because the season's over and they're not fighting for nothing. And two, I guess they don't see Lampard as adding any value, or they don't listen to his voice, or his voice is not commanding anything in the locker room, dressing room. So it's just going to be another day at the office. The guy's going to come to get their check. And Chelsea will probably lose like 3-1, 2-0 or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
You know what it is? Just quickly on what you said. Lampard's basically, you know, like when you get substitute teacher in school and it's like, okay, cool. I'm in year 8. It's in April. Like, my classes don't really matter like that. So I'm just going to go about, mess about. I don't really care. I don't need to do anything. I'm just going to finish and go back home, do what I need to do. That's kind of like where we're at, and in a way you could say it's Todd Bowley's fault because of how he hired him, and he kind of put it out there that Lampard's just here for these whatever 7-8 games. But yeah, that's the only thing I could say. Lampard basically looks like at this point a substitute teacher, and the class is in April, you're in year 8, you don't really care, you're not working towards your GCSEs, you're all staying in set 1 next year anyway, and that's literally it.
That's a sick analogy about, so I love it. That's dope. That's what it's basically, you're playing for nothing. And like you said, in year 8, it's not like you're in year 9, you're getting ready for your sats. Like, year 8's a year that is a throwaway year. Like you said, you know you're gonna be in set one in year 9. There's a couple weeks left, there's no end of year tests. Let me just skate through it and just do nothing in class.
Okay, but I'm gonna ask this question here. Is so with all the issues that we've said that Chelsea have had this season, innit? And obviously, Sam has alluded to it to talk about how he's going to go one way because United are going to do this, blah, blah, blah. Do you think there's a case, because I can make one, that Chelsea's future is still brighter than United's?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Based on the fact that basically we did what a lot of clubs don't do, and that's invest in January and invest heavily. And then also when you look at the fact that there's already pre-agreed contracts with certain players that are meant to apparently bring value, and then you look at the fact that the players that we're probably going to ship off, we are going to get a lot of money for them and then reinvest that, and the fact that Todd seems to be a lot more aggressive in being able to get certain players. And I always say, when we signed the players that we got in January, like you said, our season was over in December. I still had a bit of faith that we can get into that top four, but I always said this is going to be the longest pre-season in the history of Chelsea Football Club. And if you deep it, it kind of has been to a point, because we've chopped and changed starting 11s. You kind of work out which players are going to stay, which are not. And then we've already invested a large sum of money in January. So we've got these players on long deals. They're not moving anywhere. No matter what happens, they're not. And if they are, we're going to be able to get a lot of money back for them. So I hear where our future is still positive. And I always say, I'll give this guy one more chance still. Lukaku's going to come back. Like, as much as people don't want to rate this guy, I don't know what for. This guy's a 1-in-2 goal scorer for his career. If Harry Kane can work under Poch, Lukaku can do the exact same thing. And I don't get why. This guy's 30. He's an elite goal scorer.
Would you take him back?
What?
Would you take him back? I know he's coming 100%, back.
100%. If he comes back and he can show commitment, 1-in-2 career goal scorer, I don't care what people want to do on Twitter, whatever they want to...
This guy played for my club for like 2 years, you know.
He can miss 3 chances and score 1, but that 1 is going to be that goal that we probably need. But like I said, if I've got a player who's 30, 1-in-2 career goal scorer, what am I going to be mad about? It's just a case of, let's just see how he performs. Like, he's still always going to have transfer value as well. So now I hear that I will still say that we're in a better position than United. I'd say Liverpool to a point. Arsenal, depending on how they bounce back. The only club I'd probably look at and say our head and shoulders above everyone is City. And I still stick by that, no matter how bad we perform this season.
But, bro, one quick thing. Sorry, Rich. in terms of who's in a better situation, yes, optics wise, yeah, Chelsea does look better. But a lot of the players that you've brought in are very inexperienced. They're very young as well. So doing this in the Premier League is different to do it in the Eredivisie or doing it in, you know, the Russian League or doing it in the Bundesliga. Now you're going to come to the Premier League and expectations. Like, the precedent that Chelsea are setting is that the whole team's young. So if Nkunku doesn't perform or Madueke doesn't perform or Mudryk doesn't perform, what happens? Who's the leaders in that team? You got Enzo. Like, Enzo has played well. The last couple of games, he has been smelly, I'm not going to lie. But again, I think he's just ticking and binding over. But a lot of your team is young. So, like, how are you guys going to perform? How are you guys going to come through adversity with that young team? And a lot of players are going to leave. And the players that are going to leave are going to be majority of your experienced players. So, good. I don't think it's going to be a very smooth
transition. No, but I think what is a spoil for me as well is because I feel like with Chelsea and some of the points that Sam made is valid, but I feel like, what the hell? Can you guys see me?
Yeah.
Okay, come. Yeah, I feel like with Chelsea, Sam makes a point, you sign a lot of young players. So I do feel like there's the element of unknown there. When I look at United, I'm sorry, but I'm not really that impressed because I feel like a lot of the players that they've got starting are going to be replaced, and this is their core. So you look at De Gea, you look at Casemiro, you look at Bruno. If I start talking about Bruno,
Casemiro will be replaced.
No, but I'm saying these players won't be replaced, and I feel like a lot of their main players have reached their peaks. Like, they won't get as much better than what they're showing. And I started with De Gea. He's been on the decline for God knows how many years.
He has, but he's won a Golden Glove, even though I don't rate him, but he's won it.
The defense kind of won the Golden Glove, but
yeah, that's you're right. I'll give you that.
Okay, but then with Ramos, well, I think, me personally, people might say he's the leader. I think he's better than Martinez anyways, in my eyes. But I feel like he's peaked. He's going to be on a decline. Casemiro, probably still, arguably still the best DM, but he's peaked. He's on a decline. Bruno, I do, even though his peak is not that high, I think he's peaked. So I feel like
your agenda is crazy, I tell you.
it's not an agenda. And obviously, to be fair to him, I do feel like this season, I'll say he's been good. I feel like for the first time,
he's been very good. He's been very good this season. Created over 100 like, chances.
Yeah, but before this season, I thought he was shit. So before this season, I thought he was shit. He was absolutely. I think the only thing I was saving him was the numbers, and obviously, stats do mean something in football. So I will give it to him to say he's a decent player because of the stats. But just as a midfielder, I thought it was shit. And then when you look at the front line, you've got Rashford who hit form, but this is not the first time Rashford has had a season like this. But then it's always like one season, Rashford, you're going to get the 17 league goals. The next season, you're going to get 4 league goals. It's always like, what Rashford are we getting this season kind of thing. And then we've already spoken about Martial. And then you look at Sancho, which the fall from grace is something astonishing. I don't know how someone goes from one of the hottest prospects in world football to someone that is being replaced by Garnacho. And all those players there. Not that Garnacho isn't good, but Garnacho shouldn't be coming to take a player of Sancho's stature. And then you've got Anthony spinning top. He's such a whip. Because, you know, it is a sport with Anthony. I thought he was quick and he had elite dribbling skills. And I don't know if my eyes are deceiving me. Maybe I should start putting my glasses on more. But I don't see this pace and I don't see this. So you've got all these players, which half of them are new players. Are you going to start replacing all of them one by one? I don't think a new striker changes this. Whereas in with Chelsea, obviously, it could go to shit. But at the same time, with the element of unknown, it could be one of the best things ever. And you start challenging City. So I still feel like our thing is brighter than United's. And really and truly, Arsenal possibly could have peaked as well. So who knows? Our challenge could be with Liverpool next season because I do feel like Liverpool haven't enough. Liverpool make the necessary changes. So, I don't know. We'll see. But that's my take. What do you think, Trey, on...
Just on Chelsea, like, your squad is so, like, overloaded. So, it's like, what direction are you going to really go in? It's like, who's going to stick? Well, some players you kind of know that are going to leave, like, probably Ziyech, Pulisic, Mount, Ruben off the sheet. Those are probably the players that you'd say they're on their way out. But even then, you've got players like maybe Nkunku coming in, but even as to say, you've signed a hot prospect in well, beforehand, he was a hot prospect in that league. We're going to go say Havertz. So Havertz was one of the top players in that league. You signed him, and it hasn't really kicked on. You can say he's won the Champions League, but in terms of as an overall season, he hasn't really done it. He hasn't delivered the package. So it's like, can you really trust that league? You signed Werner as well from that league as well. And yeah, he was meant to be one of the hottest players in that league as well. Come, didn't work out, and you shipped him out. So it's a weird one with Chelsea. Like, you're not signing these players for big money like we do as well. Like, I can't really say, oh, not signing money. Everyone signs players for money. But, like, it doesn't always go to plan. Lukaku as well, you bend them after a season. So it's like saying that you don't want him back. And he had that interview where he said he wanted to return back to Inter and was slagging off the club. So the direction of Chelsea is going to be a bit weird. Like, I do like Poch as a manager, and I think he could do well with that squad because it's a young team. There's players that are hungry. Like, I like the look of Madueke. He looks good. Enzo looks good. Balotelli's very composed on the ball as well. So there's stuff to look forward to. But I just think the direction that you lot are going to go to, there's not really any experienced players in your dressing room at the moment. So apart from Thiago Silva, who's on a massive decline as well, and you can't play him week in, week out, who else is really there? What is an Aspi leaving at the end of the season as well?
Thiago Silva's leaving. I think Silva leaves as well. I think
Silva
will probably go at the end of the season. I think because they were saying that he might.
I thought he extended another year, you know.
Yeah, yeah, but I feel like then I was like looking into it that they were saying he might feel like going to Brazil, which is calm. Like, I get it. Go back to Brazil, do your thing.
I think this is why we go back to the right problem of the managers, because you just touched with the whole Havertz stuff and you said that obviously you don't think Havertz has worked out for Chelsea and stuff. And if I'm just going to use him as an example, just because it's the name we brought up, I always go back to where is he playing and what's your expectation of Havertz? Because I think people think because Havertz is playing as the number nine, you expect him to start giving you 20 Premier League goals a season or whatever. And then if he gives you 10, it's like this guy is failing or whatever. And I've seen times whereas in Havertz could have one performance and he wouldn't get a goal and assist there. He played really well and everybody would hamp on him. And then he puts in that same exact performance and he scores a penalty and it's like, oh yeah, big game Havertz, this and that. So there's a bit of, I feel like it's a bit of overreaction within the Chelsea fan base, which in my opinion has been so defended ever since Sarri came into the club and stuff. I believe he ruined the Chelsea fan base because we used to be one before the smoker came in, but that's not the.
Sorry, was the best manager you've had.
No, he was not. No, he was not. But it's not.
I'm always a big fan of Kai Havertz, but just in terms of how football's going, where there's less reliant on a number 10, mostly either a number 8 or you're a box to box midfielder or you're 6. Like, and because Chelsea don't play like a 4-2-3-1. It's hard to kind of get Havertz in his best position. So that's why you'll see him play on the right as a false nine. And I don't really see him as a false nine. Like, if you want to get the best out of Havertz, it's as a number 10. And no one really plays with a number 10 at the moment. And it might have to be an experiment where you say, okay, cool, he has to play as a number 8, but he's more of a number 8 like De Bruyne that gets into the half space, bases higher up, like a Gundogan and De Bruyne, where they're in the pockets in between the centre-backs, because him playing on the right, he doesn't have enough pace to be dynamic and effective enough. Yeah. Up front, he just doesn't have the strength, and he's just not a false nine. That's a very precise position that you play. You need to understand the game to a certain level to play that false nine in terms of how you...
Sam, what is he really? Because even as a 10 year, I don't think he's as creative as, like, if you put Mount on, I think Mount offers a bit more in that.
As a number 10?
Yeah.
In terms of IQ, as a 10, I think Kai Havertz fits there. Don't quote me on this. I'm not saying he's Ozil-esque, but as a number 10, he's got that magic there. He's got the antennas where the David Silvers, where he's seeing people coming from behind and doing the passes, doing the free throws.
Sterling cost him an assist this weekend.
Pardon?
It sounds like a different player, you know.
No,
Chelsea might not have been the right fit. And with players, it's always about fit. Same with Sancho. Like, at that time when he went to United, it wasn't the best time because you had a manager that didn't play to his strengths. You had a manager that went to play on the counter-attack, and you got to realize the way Sancho plays is very intricate. It's not...
Yeah, it's intricate. It's more close up.
And, close control, 1-2, get space.
Yeah, one, two,
get into positions. And I just think Everything is about timing and the manager. And as much as people say, oh, Pep always buys the best players, which is not the case, because all the players that City have bought, everyone else could have bought them apart from like Jack Grealish, 100 million. But everyone else has been in that million mark. And he's improved them. He's made them better players. Like, who thought Rodri would be who he is now when he was at Atletico? Yeah.
He had like one season. Or something.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean? And the way he's made players better, and what people always forget with Pep is that Pep, there's always a thing where with Pep, the first season you get there, it's a transition. The second season, we see you at your apex. We've seen it with Grealish this season. Last year, everyone was saying Grealish was getting the ball, holding on it for too long, wasn't being dynamic or direct enough. This season, he's doing all the right things. Getting into the box, getting to the bar line. You know, he's doing the cutbacks that City love. And he's just got a great rapport with the front three, the front five. So
more chances created in Europe as well. Yeah.
So it's all about the manager and being a fit for that team, innit? So I feel sorry for Sancho. For me, I said, obviously, his situation, he was never going to go back to City. For me, he should have gone to Liverpool. But money talks. Yeah, because I think Klopp would have, in terms of how they play that gegenpressing and how you got that rotational front three and how they interlink, it would have been much better. Like, he would have just been a nice transition from Sane. No, not the pace, but in terms of what he can offer, he would have fitted in well. And United just didn't make sense. That was more of a financial situation, to be fair.
I think it's a weird one with Sancho because it's like, I still think he is the right profile for what we want, but it's a bit sticky now that Ten Hag bought Antony for a load of big money, and it's like he's now kind of second choice, or like if everyone's fully fit, he's not going to be picked ahead of Rashford or Antony or maybe Martial because he's not a nine in it, or it depends how Ten Hag wants to go with it, but he's not the first choice winger, if you want to say, in it. So I really want it to work with him, and I think it can work, but I don't know if Ten Hag's going to cut with him for very much long, because you saw what happened. I think at the start of the season, he was good, and then he went through that period where Ten Hag took him out of like the whole limelight. You saw like he wasn't on social media. He wasn't playing football for like, what was it, 2.5, maybe 3 months during the World Cup time, and then obviously he's come back now, started quite decent, and then it's like it's reverted back. So it's a weird one with Sancho, because like he has moments, like you saw against Tottenham, even Leicester this season as well, Leeds as well, he has moments, but it's never consistent really. I haven't had a five good game spell of Jadon Sancho doing what he done at Dortmund, or even reminiscing some of that form. So yeah, it's a weird one with him, because he's got the qualities, we all know that, but it's keeping to that consistent level, and people would say he hasn't really adapted well to the Premier League, innit? So that's another one there. But I think he can come good, but it's a sticky one with him at the moment, because it's what, his second season as well, so it's not looking good.
Now I'm all out of Sancho. But obviously, just before we obviously go into score predictions and stuff, obviously Sam already gave his, but I'll start with you, Trey. What do you expect going into this meaningless Big Six game on Thursday?
I think it will be a weird test, because Chelsea are pretty much doing the longest preseason that any team that you've done at this current moment, and they're going through a transitional period in a way. We're obviously in a good range of form-ish, but we're not playing at our highest level. I mean, we're getting a result. Like, we got a result against Bournemouth, but we're not playing very well, I don't think. But we still have the upper hand, because we're playing better at the moment. So I think it's going to be one of those games, kind of like how you played against City, but I think it might be, you might dominate the ball a little bit more, because we don't dominate a lot of possession, I'll be real. So I just think it'll be a thing where we hit you on the break. We'll have a couple bits of patterns of play, and it might actually be a game where we beat you like, I don't know, 2-1 or something like that. I can see you, man, scoring, because we're not, like, we don't concede as much goals, but knowing us, knowing United, I just think we'll concede to something like a Joao Felix goal from a back post or something silly like that. But if you keep a clean sheet, we keep a clean sheet. But I'm thinking 2-1 or 3-1. I just think we've got more goals than you at the moment, even though we're not scoring. But chances will come against Chelsea, because against City should have won that game like probably like 3 or 4-0 against you lot. Like, your back line was looking very suspect and just out of place, innit? So I can just only see it going.
What about you, Sam? Oh, so Sam Abbas.
Do you know what? I'll be honest with you, lot. This game is going to be one of them where Chelsea will have probably two shots on target the entire game. The entire game is going to be played, I'd say, about 85 to 90%. It's just going to be in the midfield, just passing left to right, going in the middle. Bit of poor quality here or there. They'll be nil nil till like the 86 minute. Then United will realise that's all they really need to do. Chelsea won't do anything. It's going to end nil nil because, like, this is it. We're playing through the motion and we can't win at Old Trafford. The only thing United have this season, and this is what I'll say, is they're lucky that everybody else below them has been poor, because that away record is off, but the home record stands pretty well. But yeah, I don't think they'll care too much to score, and for that reason, I think it'll probably end nil nil, and like both teams will be like, okay, cool, United have got the job done. As much as I'm hoping that we can just scrape it 1-0 so it goes to the final game, I'll be surprised if we do that. But realistically, it'll probably end 0-0 and Chelsea fans will be like, yo, it is what it is. One more game to play against Newcastle. United will finish top four and then they'll play like a rotational team in the final game week. But it's literally going to be one of the worst games we'll see this season.
No, it's kind of true. It's a very hard game to build up because, I mean, you look at the last like five results, it's been a bunch of 1-1, 0-0, 0-0, 1-1, and all that kind of stuff. It's not, even like the time we played last season where Ronaldo scored that goal, it was a game that we dominated. I think Havertz had a couple chances. I'm not sure if Mount had a couple. I can't remember exactly who.
That game was poor, so it was Reece James scored in that game,
innit? I'm not sure it was Reece James or Alonso. It was one of the fullbacks anyways.
Then
they scored. And then after dominating, you see Reece James, you see Ronaldo scoring that goal. And then even the game earlier this season where Casemiro scores the last minute. It's like, I said it before, yeah, every game, every season, United and Chelsea just agree, no, we take 2 points each and then rest players. Like, so I don't know. It's going to be a weird game going in. And it's a dead rubber game as well. Well, for Chelsea anyways. So for that reason, and especially Lampard is sinking us for whatever reason. So I don't think we're going to get a draw this time. I hope I'm wrong, because I can start talking.
But Rich, remember the last time Lampard came to Old Trafford, what happened?
The last time Lampard, we got cheated out by the refs. So
Rashford Brayson.
What's it called? And I remember the refs cheating. I can't remember what the decision was, but there was definitely some cheating going on. But you know what? I'm a fair man and a man of integrity, so I'm going to predict a United win of 1-0. It's quite similar. But if Chelsea do win, you'll be hearing from me on Twitter, regardless. So,
yeah. You know what? I can't lie. So, I was speaking to my boy. I'm trying to go to the game, and then I'll sit with United fans, wear my Chelsea top on, and then if we win, that security will have to take me out because I'm just not going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. Security.
Chelsea.
Yeah. I'll be the only one singing it because even the away fans won't even be there, because what's the point in travelling up? Like, you guys are crazy. Chelsea fans who travel up this game, honestly, just stay at home and watch the game. There's no point. It's too long to come up.
Even good for you. Next season, you can start going to Premier League games as well.
Well, I can go to Premier League games this season, but I choose optionally not to, and I just sit and watch because there's no point. I'm wasting too much money paying for this anyway. Why do I need to go pay more? There's no need for me to do that.
But like now, Burnley are now in the Premier League, so you can now. That's not seen the case. But yeah, my score predictions are United 2-1. Sam, what's your score prediction?
Yeah, so like I was saying, and I think earlier, I think it's going to be either United 2-0 or United 3-1.
Nice. Either way, we're getting top four that game. I can't, like, that last game just has to be a rotation.
So what's your score prediction?
Man,
yeah.
Oh, I'm going 2-1 or 3-1.
Yeah, I'm United.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, just making sure.
Chelsea.
Abassi said it's going to be no. Yeah. Ah, fair enough. Well, that is all we have time for. This, I don't know if we're going to come back and do the review of it. It's whatever at this point, because Chelsea are depressing and That's why I'm a City fan now. So I'll be there for the City period. Hey, Sam, when are we going to the period of Manchester?
Once we secure the treble in it, but we'll find a date.
So Sam, are we winning that FA Cup then?
Who is City winning it? Of course, City will win
it. United, bro. What Rash United is going on?
You don't want that smoke. Come on, stop it.
We'll see, man. Do the third, man.
Do you know what's funny? Let me save this for another pod. City are so successful.
Oh, good. I need that FA Cup.
United's fault, but let me save that for another time.
Yeah. You guys, I don't think you guys will stop us, but it should be a good game. It's a derby, anything can happen. Yeah. But the way we're playing and the form that we're in, the confidence that we got, there's no one really stopping us. The way we played against Real Madrid, like it was mad. That first 15 minutes, 20 minutes, the game could have been over. Like because of Courtois, the game wasn't like 7 or 8. That's how mad it was. We could have finished Real Madrid and made them look even more smellier. So we've just got that confidence, and we've got to take a game at a time. We've got Brighton tomorrow. Obviously, Pep's probably going to rest some players again. Depending,
do you think a similar lineup what Pep did against Chelsea?
I think it'll be a bit similar, but I think he's still going to play a few players to keep them ticking because like you can't. I think Palmer might start, but they're still going to be the big guns because you can't keep Haaland, all them guys not playing.
Yeah, you can't
do that. So there's going to be. They might play 45 minutes, come off, and especially with the 5 subs, it helps a lot. So I think we're gonna see some of the younger guys playing, but we're gonna see some of maybe like a Gundogan and a De Bruyne start. Then you bring on Haaland or whatever. But yeah, you don't want to get these guys and have to shake off the cobwebs for a final and then Champions League. No. Keep them ticking, keep them motivated. Which
rotate,
don't do that, man.
You said that I can allow you to slander Chelsea, but no, respect your orders.
There you go.
Well, yeah. Now I'm hoping City win the FA Cup and then Inter win the Champions League. I said I've got one more Pep agenda.
No, I'm all right.
If Pep don't win that treble,
look how the goalpost has changed. Look what my man said. If Pep don't win that,
if he bought the FA Cup and the champs,
you guys, mad.
No,
big up Pep though. Big up Pep, man. He's done his thing, man.
Goat business. See, if the funny thing is, if Abramovich wasn't trigger happy, you man would have had Pep. You know that.
Yeah, I don't know how you have not had Pep. You know,
he said he wanted to go there, but when he spoke to Abramovich, he said, "I'm not here. I'm not dealing with the sacking business because Pep's never been sacked." So he said, "I'm not going to Chelsea," and that happens. And he couldn't get that reassurance. He said, "Okay, cool."
But Pep wouldn't work at Chelsea anyways.
Pardon?
Pep wouldn't really work at Chelsea anyways.
It would be a bit toxic for Pep.
Anyway, stop it, man.
Remember, Chelsea have like a history of liking black players. So imagine you now put Pep in Stamford Bridge. It's going to be...
now we're using this now. We're going back to this. Yeah? Same way Iron Man's...
It's still haunting. It's still good. That curse of Yoyo Touré.
That curse was hold him on the FA Cup, you know. I'm telling you.
It only works in Europe.
I'm not even talking too much because I can smell the hate. I can hear the hate.
I rate Pep, but you don't mention that 2 or 3 Champions Leagues with Pep in this time because there can't be this many excuses for him in the Champions.
Alright, cool. But the same thing is, but Fergie only won 2 Champions League in 23 years, but he's the greatest. Say no more. It's cool, man. It's cool.
We'll see, innit? We'll see. I mean, is either Pep puts me to shame or I put Pep to shame. We'll see what happens in... When is the Champions League final? I don't really care about the FA Cup. The Champions League one.
You don't care about it because you're not in it.
Look how you
the biggest final in England. That's what it's gonna be, man.
The biggest final in England.
Yeah.
No, sorry, Mickey Mouse Cup. It doesn't really.
Count. Stop hating, man. You see what I mean? You're not in these finals. You're not getting it because the last FA Cup you might had, you beat Leicester in it. So don't do this, man.
But the last one we won, we beat United. So
yeah, but that was like 2017. Your recent one was when you played against Leicester.
But nobody cared about that.
Feel good facts for Leicester. I actually clapped for them when they won it. I felt a bit.
Yeah, same. I was like, Vardy, go get more trophies than Kane.
They completed the book, innit?
Yeah, so it was a feel-good factor, whatever. But, you know, we're going to wrap up there. Obviously, I was about to say, Abbas, thank you guys for joining on, but you guys live in this house now. So, Trey, thank you for jumping on. Is there anything you want to promote or shout out for anyone that's going to watch?
Okay, TMJ _171 on Twitter and just general socials.
Yeah, and obviously Undiluted Media for Sam, and obviously you can see Abbas tag over there. He's on TikTok, Abbas Talks Sports, I believe.
Yeah, but yeah, just follow the Twitter, innit? Because you know.
Yeah, and everything kins. And as you can see, the banner that's been rolling for the past 46 minutes. Follow me on all my social media platforms, Albans_UK, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, especially TikTok because that's where the daily content is. And we'll be back. Next time we're back will be the finals preview. Spoiler is the Denver Nuggets versus the Heat, if people didn't already know. So we'll be back for that, where Abbas will be basking in his sports show glory. And until then, thank you guys for tuning in.